Have you developed a problem? Did you succumb to a night of indiscretion and now you're stuck with two heads, four arms, and four legs? That's right, you're pregnant. Do you regret that night of passion and foreplay? It was all so good for a few minutes, but now you're stuck with another life growing in you. Well, no worries. We can remove that problem easily and quickly. Just come on down to the ID10T Institute, and after you fill out a few state-required forms, we'll sedate you and remove that other life growing in you. After all, you don't want responsibility for your actions. You want freedom from your actions. So after you succumb to your hormones and are stuck with another life problem, just come on down, and we'll take care of it for you. See you again soon.
This message brought to you by the ID10T Institute.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show, Faith and Reason Time. And I am your host, Matt Slick. It is June 8th, 2011 for the podcasters. I hope you're all out there having a good time. As I said yesterday, if you guys want to do me a favor, just email me. You know, go to the Karm website, bottom of it, you know, the contact info. Email me. Say, hey, I listened to the show, and where and what and all that kind of stuff. Just kind of like to know that. All right. We're going to have open calls, as usual. I love open calls, love talking to people. We'll see how it goes. And if you are interested in dialoguing with me, all you got to do is type in Faith and Reason in Skype, okay? Faith and Reason in Skype, and you can get right in anywhere in the world. Seriously, just computer to computer, doesn't cost anything. And if you want to call via phone, 877-207-2276. Toll free, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Sean from California. Hey, Sean. Welcome to the
show. Hi, how's it going?
Good. What's up, man?
Yes, so I watched your YouTube video talking about TAG, and
okay.
I think I've identified a few problems with it, and then...
Okay, are you an atheist?
Yes.
Okay.
So your debate against Edwin, I can't remember his last Kagan. Name, but you had some debate against a guy named Edwin something.
Kagan, yeah.
You said that, you know, this is the best argument ever, and you've seen atheists fall under it so many times, or something along the lines of that. And I think that's a tad bit dishonest, because I've heard at least one other caller in this show, and Matthew Dillahunty on The Atheist Experience, do a pretty good job explaining everything that is wrong with TAG.
Well, hold on a sec. Let me back up. First of all, that debate was like 4 or 5 years ago. Okay, so things that have happened after that. If you say, oh, Matt, you're being dishonest. Now, we have two problems. One, what you're doing is accusing me of dishonesty. You shouldn't do that. You should say, I don't think that you got all the facts or whatever it is, but I'm not going to be dishonest. I'm not going to lie. Okay, I believe, unlike some people, it's a sin to do that. I don't do that. Okay?
Okay, well, all I'm saying is you said atheists, you know, fall under this all
they
the
do.
Time.
They do.
Not really the case at
and
all.
And Dillahunty didn't refute it. See, this is what...
Yeah, oh, yes, he did.
No, he didn't. Look, what was a third option that Dillahunty said existed in order to, so to speak, refute the idea of TAG?
That right there is the huge flaw in your transcendental argument, because basically what you're saying is logical absolutes are conceptual, and because, I mean, of the mind, and because... they cannot be the product of human minds. They must be the product of some supermind, which is God, correct?
Yeah. So are you saying that logic is not a process of the mind?
Okay. I'll answer that. Let me get back to what I was saying before, though. You use a fallacy in order to demonstrate that logical absolutes are conceptual. You set up a dichotomy and say they're not physical, therefore they're conceptual. I myself and Mr. Dillahunty object to that, because you haven't demonstrated that not physical equates to conceptual.
Okay. Give me a third option.
I don't need to.
Wait a minute. Look. You say it's neither spiritual, physical or conceptual, right? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying it's neither.
Okay, so what is it then?
I don't need to answer that.
Yes, you do. It's the same stupid thing that Dillahunty did. The exact same thing.
It's not stupid at all.
Yes, it is.
What you're doing.
Hey, look, what is it? Look, give me something to work with.
I and Mr. Dillahunty object to that dichotomy.
Okay, you can object all you want.
On you.
Objection noted. Now, give me a third option.
It is now, in now that we have objected to that, that, you know, it's not physical, therefore it's conceptual, it is incumbent on you to demonstrate that that dichotomy is true. The okay. fact that the atheist can't give you a third option doesn't demonstrate that that dichotomy
okay.
is true.
What
that
options are there?
From ignorance.
Let's just talk about what the options are. What options are there? We're talking about the nature of logic and the undergirding principles that, constitute it and allow logical processes, right? Right?
Yes.
Okay. So is logic of the mind? I mean, is it?
Yes. Logic. Okay. So okay. Now, here's another flaw in your argument, because there's a difference between logic and the essentials of logic. Logic, the application of logical absolutes, is conceptual.
Gotcha.
Although
gotcha.
Good, let's logic, move. Gotcha. Logical absolutes, like, you know, something's either A or not A, that's not conceptual, because
it isn't.
If there were no minds in a universe with no minds, a tree is still a tree, and
how
it's
do you
not,
know that?
Not a tree.
How do you know that?
Those logical absolutes are contingent
John,
on a mind.
Sean, what you're doing is saying, this is the same thing that you other atheists have done, is said if there's no minds around, a tree is still a tree. In other words, if there's no mind to make a statement that is true, it's still true. But if there is no mind to make a statement regarding truth, how can this statement of truth be made? You don't realize it's you're offering a self-refuting statement, and you don't get it. Dilahanti
no,
didn't get
I'm
it.
Not.
You don't.
You don't
yes,
get
you
it,
did.
You're shifting scope.
No, I'm not.
You're shifting
Dude,
scope.
Sean.
Using the same fallacy
Sean.
You did before.
Sean, buddy, look. Look, you know what truth is? Truth is a statement.
Reality,
truth,
how things are.
Truth is a statement. Okay? It's okay. true that you and I are dialoguing, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is it true? Okay. Is it true that you're pregnant?
No.
It's not true. Truth is a statement, right? If
okay.
there are no minds, there are no truths.
You're confused. Okay, you're confusing the app. You're confusing the statement and the essence.
I'm separating the statement from the essence. I'm separating the statement, which is the nature of truth, and the ontology of something. You guys are the ones confusing it. This is why you amateurs, you guys who don't know what you're doing in logic and philosophy, shouldn't argue against it, because you don't know what you're doing. You think you do, and other atheists who think your arguments are sound get on and applaud you guys, and you all don't even realize how illogical you really are.
Okay, well, now you're just throwing out a bunch of ad hominems about how illogical
no,
I am.
An ad hominem
no,
attack
hello.
Is an attack against the individual to invalidate their argument, saying that you, for example, are dumb and therefore your argument can't be true. I'm not doing that.
Okay, that's a whole lot of hand-waving you've got going on there. Let's get back to the actual argument.
Okay,
the
let's do that.
That I can't give you a third option doesn't validate your dichotomy.
Okay.
That is an
okay.
argument from ignorance.
Okay, I got you. I'm with you.
You
don't like...
You need to demonstrate that not physical means conceptual. The burden is on you. I don't need to give a third option to be justified in objecting to that.
You can object. Fine. I have no problem. Object all you want. You're saying it's not true. You're saying that dichotomy is not true, right?
I'm saying you haven't demonstrated that it's true, so I don't accept it.
I'm trying
nice
to work
try
with
there.
You. I'm trying to work with
because
you.
Because
what is
if
logic?
If I said it isn't true, then that would put the burden on me. But
okay.
I'm not necessarily
hey, buddy.
Affirming
buddy.
It isn't true. I'm just
Got
not
that.
Buying into that it is true.
Okay. Yeah, because you're an atheist. Look, logical processes occur in the mind. No problem
yes.
there. A logical absolute is a statement of truth. A equals A. First law, second law, third law, fourth laws of logic. Like for example, the law of proper inference. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C, the fourth law of logic. This is a truth statement, is it not?
Yes, although, okay, well.
You can't have truth.
I know what you're about to do, but go ahead.
Well, let's
go
see.
Ahead.
Let's see if you're a good prophet. See, if you don't have any minds, you can't make any truth statements.
You are, okay, well, besides that dichotomy that you haven't demonstrated is actually true.
Can you give me an instance where a statement is made without any minds?
I can't, but that's totally irrelevant. This
it
is
has,
the second
it's not
attack.
Irrelevant. It has to do with the nature of truth, because the logical absolutes are truth statements.
You're confusing logic, the application, and logical absolutes,
uh-uh.
the essence.
Mm-mm.
Logic is conceptual,
nope,
that doesn't mean that the logical laws are also conceptual. That would be like saying, I have a concept of an apple, therefore apples are conceptual. That is a logical fallacy.
That is,
the
certainly.
Statement, something's either A or not A, that statement is conceptual, but the essence of that statement, the actual logical absolute, is not conceptual.
It isn't?
Because the statement and the application of it is conceptual.
Okay, so
that is a logical fallacy.
Okay, so let's just work with this. So you're saying to me then that A equals A is not a conceptual reality?
I'm saying that that's not necessarily the case.
Wait a minute.
Now,
is A equals...
Statement,
hey, buddy, is A equals A a truth statement?
Yes.
So, do you have a truth statement without a mind?
No.
So then the truth statement that A is A that you're talking about is conceptual by nature because it requires a mind for its validity.
No, it's... Okay, you're getting the statement and the essence confused again, Matt. The statement, A equals A, is conceptual because statements require minds.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that the essence of that statement...
What is the essence?
The actual logical law... That doesn't mean that the logical law you're stating is also conceptual.
Okay,
logical fallacy. And
let me ask
Matt
you.
Dillahunty pointed out, and you haven't corrected it yet.
I'm correcting you left and right. Is a law conceptual?
No, it's not.
It's not?
Well, okay,
don't lie.
Minute. What do you mean?
Don't speed. It's a conceptual thing. It's something that occurs in a mind. A moral law, truth statements. These are things that are of the mind, right?
The application of them is of the mind.
Okay.
The essence of them is not.
What's
That's
the essence?
For the fifth time.
What's the essence of A equals A?
The absolute A equals A.
Yeah, what is
I
it?
Mean,
what's the essence?
That is the essence of it.
The essence is itself?
No. What I'm saying is, something is what it is, and it's not what it's not. Something's either A or not A.
So what's
that is a logical absolute. It's not contingent upon space, time, matter, or whatever.
Great. I'm glad you agree that they're transcendent then. So what's the essence of these transcendent absolutes?
I think a better word to use for your sake is not contingent, but
what's the essence? Time. What's the essence of these transcendent truth statements?
The reality of them. A rock is a rock and is not not a rock.
But that's a truth statement.
That is the essence. That would be the case.
That's a truth statement.
Even if no minds existed. Yes.
No. The state would exist, but no truth statement about it would exist. And since logical absolutes are truth statements, they could not exist if there's no mind.
Exactly. So the statement requires a mind. That doesn't mean that the state requires a mind. And your argument
and
is
you're
that
confusing the state
absolute.
With the statement.
No, you are.
No, you
you're
are.
Saying the statement is conceptual. Therefore, the state must also be conceptual.
I didn't
therefore,
say that.
God offers
I did not
the state.
Say that.
That's
I don't
fallacy.
Say that. I don't say that. You're putting words in my mouth. I don't agree that the state of a being is merely conceptual, even though some physicists now are saying that that is the case in quantum level. But that's another topic. But I don't say that. That's not the argument. It's the logical statements that are transcendent. It's the statements, A equals A, the logical absolutes themselves. This is what I'm arguing with Dillahunty, and he didn't have enough oars in the water to figure it out, and neither do you.
Yeah, he did. Okay.
No, he didn't.
Is your argument
because you're arguing the same thing he is, and you're getting it wrong just like he did.
Okay, well, you know, here's an argumentation tip, Reverend Slick. It really helps you more when you point out where I'm getting it wrong instead of just saying that I'm getting it wrong or illogical over and over again.
I did. I said you're confusing... I said you're confusing the nature of an essence with a statement concerning the essence. You're accusing me of doing that, and I'm telling you that I don't do that because I separate them. I'm talking about the nature of the transcendental statements themselves, which undergird logical processes. That's what I'm talking about, and you guys aren't listening.
The statement, A, something's either A or not A, that statement is conceptual.
Yes, it is.
Are you saying that... That must, or the, are you saying that God is a necessary existence for that statement, because that statement couldn't be the product of human minds.
No,
is that what
no. Hold on. To transcendent nature. You just said A equal A is conceptual. I just wrote it down, put it in quotes. It's what you said. So now you're agreeing with me.
Be careful. The statement is conceptual. The actual absolute is not conceptual.
The absolute? You mean absolutes are not conceptual?
No, they're not. That's the fallacy.
Can you give me an example of an absolute that's not conceptual?
Okay, you would need to demonstrate that they are conceptual. I don't need to demonstrate that they're not conceptual.
Okay, here's an absolute that's conceptual, okay? I exist. Absolutely true. It's a conceptual statement, isn't it?
All right, this is going to sound contradictory, but, okay, the statement you made is conceptual, although the fact that you exist, that's not conceptual. Because
I'm not talking about the fact. I'm talking about the nature of the statement, which requires a mind, because a statement is a conceptual reality. The statements, A equals A is conceptual. That's what you said. And that's exactly what we're talking about in the nature of the logical absolutes issue inside of TAG. How is it that these universal truths obtain their universal truth quality? What is the undergirding, it's called the preconditions of intelligibility. What is must be in place for those truths to be universally true?
Well, definitely not God.
How do you know?
They're universally true because we have a million examples of them being true, and we have zero examples of them not being true. That's how they're universally true.
It's called
true.
Begging the question, or, and it's called the inductive problem.
It's not. No, it's not. Sorry, that was a deductive fallacy, actually. Let me clarify what I said. We are certain beyond measure that they are true because we have so many examples of them being true all the time. That doesn't necessarily mean that they are absolutely true.
Okay. So the statement, the law of logic, the law of absolute, the logical absolute is conceptual. A equals A. That's what I was saying. That's what you said they are. Now you're disagreeing with Dilahante.
No, I'm not. I'm
yes, you are.
He
denies that they're conceptual realities. You just said A equals A is conceptual.
I said the statement is conceptual.
Exactly.
I didn't say that the actual absolute is conceptual.
Exactly. Duh.
I mean, statements are the product of human minds. I make the statement
there you go.
A equals A. That's my human mind
how
making
does,
that statement.
How does A equals A obtain its universal truth quality? How does how does the fourth law of logic, A equals B, and if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C, called the law of proper inference, how does it obtain its universal truth statement? What are the conditions necessary for its universal truthness?
What I'm saying is the statement of the law. Or logic, the actual application of the law is conceptual. That doesn't mean the actual logical law is conceptual. I don't need to answer where it gains its truth.
That's value. What you guys do as atheists. When you get your back up against the wall, I don't need to answer it.
We don't, because you're the one making the claim that God is the source of this.
You're
so
making the claim
on you.
You're making the claim that God is not.
True.
You're making the claim
no,
that
I'm
God
not.
Is. Yes, you
no,
are.
I'm not.
Okay. Is God the source of these logical truths that are transcendental?
I don't believe that he is.
So you're making the statement, no. You're saying no,
no
to
I'm
that.
Not.
You don't believe it?
You don't understand the nature of the burden of proof at all. There's a difference between I don't believe that and I believe the opposite. I don't believe a God exists. I'm not positively asserting that he doesn't exist. I just don't accept the claim that he does exist. You're the one making the claim that he does exist.
Yeah, he does.
You need to demonstrate that.
How am I supposed to demonstrate,
I don't need to demonstrate that he doesn't exist.
Well, you know
what? You're asking me to do.
I don't need to demonstrate he exists.
It's perfectly valid.
I don't need
for
to do
me
it.
To say.
I don't need to demonstrate he exists. Because whether demonstrate it or
fine.
Not is irrelevant to whether or not he does exist. Because if you don't have to give me a reason why A equals A is a true statement that's transcendental in its nature, and you can't even give me what its nature and its essence are, and you just go back up and say, I don't need to answer the question. Well, you know what? I can play your game too. I don't need to.
Yeah, you do, because you're the one making the claim that God is the source of them.
So it's okay for you to make a statement, and I can't call you on it and have you validate it. But if I make a statement, then all of a sudden the burden of proof is shifted.
I'm not making a statement. I'm just rejecting your statement.
Oh, why are you rejecting it? On what logical principle are you?
Reverend Slick.
What logical principle are you
using? Making the claim. Can I get one sentence out, please?
You just did. Go ahead. Try another one.
You, Reverend Slick, you are making the claim that God is the, or I guess that God is a necessary existence for these logical absolutes. You need to demonstrate that these logical absolutes are the product of God. I don't need to demonstrate that they're the product of something else, because you're the one who's making
it's
the
called,
claim in regards to what the source
are you familiar
of
it is. With the
That's
statement?
That's why you need to demonstrate that they are God, and
I'm
I don't need to
you.
Demonstrate that they're not God.
No, they aren't God. That's not a statement I would hold to. Do you know what is called the proof by the impossibility of the contrary?
In a true dichotomy, if one's negated, the other one's affirmed, yes.
In a true dichotomy, good. You know about antonymic pairs. Okay, well, at any rate, so if the impossibility of the contrary is the state, then the contrary doesn't have to be proven. It's proven by default.
Okay, well, go ahead. I know exactly where you're going with this, but go ahead.
Well, it's true. If you have two, if you only have two worldviews, for example, to account for a phenomena, just two, you have an actual true dichotomy and possibilities. For example, the universe was created by a personal being or was not created by a personal being or brought into existence by a personal being or not. True dichotomy. Now, if that's the case, then if one of them is negated, one of the statements, you know, is negated, then by default, the other one is automatically verified, even though it hasn't been proven through itself. But it can't be possible that both are not true, because you can't have an impossibility like that. Therefore, it's called proof by the impossibility of the contrary. Are you familiar with this?
I understand.
Okay. So then if the transcendental natures, which you said logical absolutes, A equals A, and that's a logical absolute, you said a logical absolute itself. You're saying it's conceptual.
No, I'm not.
Okay. Is logical, the logical law, the first law of identity, the law of identity, is that law a truth statement?
No, the law itself is not a truth statement. You can make a truth statement about the law, but that doesn't make the law a truth statement.
A equals A is not true?
It is true. The truth statement you just asked me about, it is a truth statement and it's conceptual. That doesn't mean the logical law that the truth statement is referring to is also conceptual.
Where did that logical law come from?
That is a logical fallacy in your argument.
Where did the logical law come from that it's referring to?
You're doing the same thing you did before.
Where does it come from? You said it comes from something else. Okay, where does it come from?
You need to demonstrate it comes from God, and before you do that, my disbelief is justified.
Okay, whatever.
Basically,
hey,
now,
look, man, what
now
does
what
make
you're
a
saying
difference?
Is because I can't tell you where it comes from, because I can't give you a non-God source where it comes from.
Exactly. You can't.
You're justified in believing in God, and that is an argument from ignorance and a shifting
no,
of
it's not.
Of proof.
Because if we have
where they come from.
No, Sean, if we have two worldviews and this
come from God.
Sean, this is part of the argument that I've written up and that I've argued. The fact that the atheist can't provide the answer is demonstration that that worldview is insufficient. And since it cannot provide that answer, the other option is validated. God exists. You cannot, from your perspective, demonstrate with rationality, using logic, why the universal transcendental truth statements of the laws of logic are what they are and obtain their absolute transcendental nature. You can't do it from your atheistic perspective. That's the argument.
Okay,
you guys don't get it. I tried to tell
Delahunty. No,
I tried to show you. You don't understand what the argument is. Why is it you guys don't study what we actually say?
I'm studying exactly what you're saying, and it's
I'm
an
telling
argument
you.
From ignorance.
I'm telling you don't. I'm telling
Why
you you're
is
not.
It that no matter how many times people point out what's wrong with your argument, you just keep repeating it over and
okay,
over again.
Here's going on. Here it is. Look,
times.
The argument is that by the impossibility of the contrary, because the atheistic worldview cannot demonstrate a rational argument for the existence of the transcendental nature of logical absolutes, thereby, because it's the only worldview, you have two worldviews, God and no God. And since the no God position can't demonstrate it, by default, the other one is proven. You've already acknowledged that that's a valid logical principle. It's called the impossibility of the contrary. Since you can't, as an atheist, demonstrate that it is the case, the argument is valid.
No, it's not, because in a true dichotomy,
you have said it was.
Negated, the other one's affirmed.
You said
fine.
It was.
First thing, atheism is only a rejection of a claim. I do not accept the claim that a God exists. It's nothing more than that. You're the one making the claim that God is a necessary existence for logical absolutes. The burden's on you to demonstrate that that's true.
I have, by the impossibility of the contrary.
If you don't demonstrate that's true, my disbelief is justified.
Sean.
If you proved, Matt, listen, if you proved, or okay, proof, actually you could prove, because this has something to do with logic, if you proved that there could be no source of logic other than God, then that would affirm that God is the source of logic. You haven't done that. Just because I can't offer an explanation of these logical absolutes, just because I can't demonstrate
that's the argument. That's the argument.
Affirm that God exists.
That's the argument. You're misrepresenting the argument. You're changing it.
You're saying that because
Sean,
I can't demonstrate it's not God,
Sean,
it is God, and
Sean,
that's a fallacy.
Sean, I didn't say demonstrate it's not God. I said demonstrate how in an atheistic universe, in a physical realm, how you can account for, from any perspective, within your atheistic worldview, how you can account for the nature of transcendental logical absolutes. That's the issue.
Yes, exactly. You're saying that
you
because
can't.
I can't give you a natural answer, you're
yep.
justified in accepting a supernatural answer, and
there
that's
you
an
go.
Argument from ignorance.
No, look, no atheist has done it. No atheist I'm aware of. Let me just correct that. No atheist I'm aware of.
It doesn't matter.
Okay, buddy.
No theist
buddy.
Has ever demonstrated
buddy.
That they're... Okay, I could do the same thing to you, Matt.
Okay, hold on. We're going to take control of this. Now, I know a lot of people may be getting bored with this, but this is important. So, hold on, let me clear my throat. There we go. Now, folks, let me lay this out, what the transcendental argument is. That there are such things as logic. You know, we use logic. What undergirds the logical principles are called the laws of logic. For something, for example, the first law is something is what it is and is not what it is not. That's it. Or the law of non-contradiction. You know, something cannot be both true and false at the same time, in the same sense, in the same way. Or the law of excluded middle. Statements are either true or false. Or the law of proper inference. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. Now, these statements, for example, these axiomatic truths, how is it that they are universally true? This is what the argument deals with. How is it they're true? Well, we have to answer the question. How is it that they are true? The philosophers ask, why are logical principles true? What is it about them? They ask these questions. Now, if we only have two worldviews to work from to answer the question, God, no God, or personal, no personal, okay? We only have those. You can't have any third options there. If I could, for example, if from the idea that there, say we use the God perspective, and we can demonstrate logically and prove logically, that the explanation for God cannot account for the existence of transcendental logical absolutes, then automatically the non-God worldview is validated. It's real simple. It also works in reverse. If the atheistic perspective or the non-God perspective is assumed and you say, now, can you account for it? And it just cannot be done. Because there's only a certain number of realms of inquiry, you know, because logic is conceptual. It deals with the mind. So is it a product of human minds? Well, it can't be, and there's reasons for that. Is it a product of a property like the way red is a property of an apple? You know, is that how you look at it? And properties are measurable and discernible, but how do you measure logic? And there's, you know, there are issues. And so when you work through basically all the possible explanations that an atheistic perspective could give or a non-God perspective could give, when you do that and you find out that it can't answer the question, it does, and from its perspective, the non-God position cannot do it, then the argument goes that the personal side, the God existence argument, is validated. Now, that's the argument. What they're doing, though, is not representing the argument properly, because what they're doing is taking the focus off of the dichotomy of personal versus non-personal. And what Sean's doing and what others have done is say, no, you need to deal with the nature of the logical absolutes themselves. Are they conceptual or physical or what? But that's not what the argument is. The argument has to do with the issue of accountability. And so if I were to say to an atheist, well, let's talk about their nature, because we've got to talk about what they are to some degree, you know, the conceptual or the physical. What other options are there? You know, because logic is a process of the mind. It has to do with the mind. If it's not of the mind, what else is there? It's whatever exists in the universe. This is what the physical is. So if they want to say it's spiritual, well, then their argument's over. They shoot themselves in the foot. So how can an atheist, from the atheist perspective, say, well, yeah, they have their transcendental truth nature by the atheist perspective, because it's a property of matter. It's a property of human thought. It's a property of this or that. All of those arguments fall flat. They cannot provide an answer. And so because of that, the God side of the argument is validated. It's called the impossibility of the contrary. Now, what these guys are doing, what Sean's doing, what others have done, I'm going to repeat it. We'll get back to Sean here. What they're doing is taking the focus of the argument and shifting it to something else on the very nature of the logical absolutes themselves. And what he has done is confused the nature with the truth, the essence with the truth statement, because it's the truth statements that we're dealing with. The transcendental nature of the logical absolutes, because logical absolutes are truth statements. A equals A is a statement. And as I corrected him like three times, no, I'm not confusing that. You are. Because he's trying to say that they're related by accusing to me by saying that I'm saying that, which I'm not saying. He doesn't understand the argument sufficiently. And most atheists who get in here to try and argue this don't understand the argument well either. Now, Sean, are you there?
Yep.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, I did. So I called in here and I pointed out two logical flaws in your argument.
What you think they
instead
are.
Instead, you just, and you never really corrected them. You just instead accused me of not getting it and being illogical and this and that. And now you just repeated the whole argument without ever correcting the fallacies I pointed out in it.
Look,
I find it really rather amazing that so many people can point out to you the logical flaws in that, and you just ignore it and repeat it and go, oh, you guys get it. You don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah.
It's not the argument,
Sean. If the non-God worldview was negated, the God worldview would be affirmed. The problem is the fact that I, as an atheist, cannot account for logic doesn't actually negate the non-God worldview.
So you admit you can't do it.
You would have to demonstrate that the non-God worldview cannot, you'd have to prove a negative, that cannot account for logic. And the fact that I can't
logical
account for
absolutes.
Logic doesn't actually demonstrate that. You're saying
we
that
didn't
because
say that.
The atheist can't account for logic,
we didn't say that.
Theism is affirmed by that, and that is an argument from ignorance.
Okay, although, whatever you want to say. So you admit A equals A is conceptual, logical absolutes are conceptual. You also admit you can't account for them from your worldview. That's what the argument's about.
I think I can account for them, but
really?
It doesn't really matter.
Really? You want to try? Give me one.
No, I don't.
You don't have to answer. Okay.
We'll just say for the sake
Goodbye.
Of argument.
Goodbye. Look, folks, we're going to get to the next caller. Sean is a good example of the obstreperous mindset of an atheist who cannot and will not receive the issues of the nature of what truth is itself. Look, let me kind of run some stuff by you. I haven't done this in a while. You know, for example, A equals A is a universal truth statement. It's always true that something is what it is and is not what it is not. That statement is always true. Now, since it is a statement of truth, by nature, it has to be of the mind. That's the whole argument. It's one of the parts of the argument. It's of the mind because it's a statement of truth, which is what I tried to go over with him, and yet he refused to deal with that real issue. It is of the mind, therefore the logical absolute is by nature conceptual because it's of the mind. That's it. If it's not of the mind, what else is there in an atheistic perspective? What other options are there? Since atheism, because there is no God, must adopt what's called physicalism or materialism. And basically, there's synonymous statements that basically says the only thing that exists in the universe is matter, motion, energy, things like that. There's no other option. There's no spiritual. Well, what else is there? Is there a conceptual aspect to it? Well, if that's the case, then we're back to the issue with the nature of logical absolutes is. So the atheists have a serious problem, but they, you know, they won't give, because what they want to do is argue a minutia about what they think is a logical problem on the other side, but they don't see that it is not. And he'll say, an atheist will do this, we've refuted you. No, you haven't. Yes, we have. No, we haven't. Okay, what's the third option? We don't have to give a third option. We don't know what it is, but we just know it exists. Oh, really? That's a refutation? So what is the nature of logic? Is it conceptual? Yes. How about the logical absolutes? Is it conceptual? They won't say that. They won't admit that, because as soon as they do, they're giving into the argument on tag to begin with. So then they're going to say logical absolutes are not conceptual by nature. Really? Well, then what are they? I don't have to answer the question. You see, what they're doing is saying, I don't agree with what you say, and I don't have to prove that my disagreement is even valid. I don't even have to demonstrate that my opinion is valid. I'm just going to disagree. It's up to you to prove my opinion wrong. So what they're trying to do is shift all of the burden of proof of every detail upon the theist in this argument. That's the best way that they've got to get out of the difficulty of the argument. Unfortunately, it's not a valid way to get out of the argument, because all they're doing is admitting they have difficulty, and by shifting the burden upon the atheistic perspective, or from that to the theistic perspective, which is a shorthand version of what they're trying to do, they think that they're out from underneath the problem. But that's not what the argument is, at least not the one I used. The argument that I used, if he had paid attention, read the work that I had done, and the video work that I had done on it, said, when you only have two perspectives, God, no God, and one of them is negated, by default, the other one's verified. Let's look at the atheistic perspective. How can an atheistic perspective account for the transcendental nature of logical absolutes? And then I go step by step, showing the various arguments and postulations that have been offered in order to verify and validate the universal transcendental truth statements known as logical absolutes. And we can poke holes in every single one of them. They can't do it. The atheists, I believe, are aware of this. And so in order to get out of from underneath the heavy burden that atheism is put on by this argument, they try and shift, like what this guy was doing, upon the theist, the proof of everything. Prove that, for example, logical absolutes are conceptual. Well, how do you prove it? You ask questions of the guy. Hey, is it a process of the mind? Yes. He said A equals A is conceptual. We get to that point where I show, hey, you admit that it's conceptual. You're saying it's conceptual. Then he confuses the ontology with the statement. But it's not the ontology, but it's a statement. This is where he was making a mistake. It's where a lot of atheists have made the mistake in this issue. Really, they don't know what they're doing, and they think they do. Now, folks, theologically speaking, there's what's called the noetic effect of sin, from the Greek naos, the effect of sin upon the mind. If you're an atheist, you cannot believe that God exists. You cannot. Any argument given for God, you have to refute. It cannot be allowed to stand. And no matter what you give, no matter how logical and provable it might be, they must reject it. That's their worldview. Because in order to maintain a worldview, people will take all kinds of facts, all kinds of logic, and twist it around and believe what they want to believe. Mormons do it. Jehovah's Witnesses do it. Roman Catholics do it. And Christians do it as well. But when you have the tag argument based upon the impossibility of the contrary, which is what I told the guy, which is what this Dillahunty guy failed to get, and what the atheist who think he did great also fail to see, because I think it's laughable. Because if that's actually what happens is a lot of the atheists tout that as a great victory, and I chuckle when they do, because it just tells me they really don't know the issues. They don't know what's going on. Dillahunty and this guy don't know. And it's unfortunate, you know. And if we want to do a debate on it, you know, we could do a debate. But this guy just is not listening, not following the truths and things like that. I wouldn't mind if he were to call back another time and we talked about a variation on the Kalam cosmological argument. Just basically, it's a cosmological argument where I use antonymic pairs and what's called necessary and sufficient conditions for events to occur. Anyway, I know it's a little bit heady for a lot of people, and a lot of you are going, what the heck is he talking about? Well, if you want to learn what the argument is on TAG, just go to CARM.org, C-A-R-M, and read up on it. You can check it out for yourself. And maybe if an atheist wants to call me up on it, read the argument and understand what the argument is, and don't misrepresent it like Sean is. Okay, let's get to the next caller after I give the number out, 877-207-2276. And, uh-oh, it's Andrew, the atheist. Andrew, how are you doing?
Hey, what's up? For viewers, if you want to see the argument, go to carm.org/transcendental-argument. Mm-hmm. What atheists are objecting to is the premise at 7C. We see a contradiction there.
What is that premise?
You said, it says, since the logical absolutes are transcendent absolute, are perfectly consistent, and are independent of the universe, they reflect a transcendent absolute, perfect, and independent mind. And then you go to 7D and you say, we call this transcendent, absolute, perfect, and independent mind God. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. So the problem with C is, what does transcendent mean? How do you define transcendent?
It's not
the word transcendent
not
is,
dependent,
is crucial.
Not dependent upon the physical conditions, location, or time for its validity in this context.
Okay. Now, so it's non-physical. That's what you mean, right?
Something that's transcendent is, yeah. I mean, you know.
Non-physical, right?
Yeah, I can give you a moral absolute that's transcendent.
No, but transcendent means it's not actually contingent on physical stuff, right?
I'm going to hold off on agreeing on that and just say that in the scope of the argument at hand, the nature of the logical absolutes are transcendent in that they are not dependent upon space and time for their validity.
Space and time. That's
yes.
What I meant by physical.
Where they are and when they are has no effect on their validity, on their truth.
Right. So they're not physical. That's what we mean by that, right?
Okay.
You can't freeze them, weigh them. You did that thing, too, where you said that. You
right.
can't freeze them, weigh them, dig them up in the dirt, right?
Right.
Okay. So they're transcendent. So we established that transcendent is non-physical. Do you think transcendent means
I didn't say that
it comes from a mind?
I didn't say that it is only. If you restrict it to only to that, I won't agree with that.
No. I'm saying, like, they're not physical, right? But that doesn't mean they are conceptual, right?
Transcendent truths is what we're talking about, right?
Well, just the transition from premise 7C to 7D, we don't get it because we're basically saying they're not physical, but how do you just, okay, so we grant that they're not physical. Let's just stop talking about that. That's obvious.
Okay.
We don't think they come from any mind.
Okay.
You say they come from God's mind. We don't see any reason to believe they come from any mind whatsoever.
Okay.
They're not physical. That doesn't mean they come from a mind, though.
Well, let me ask
Where do you get that from?
Let me
That's
ask
what
you.
Atheists are saying.
Okay. You know, I'm always open to clarifying statements because what I think is clear may not be clear to somebody else. I have no problem with that. I modify my site all the time.
But you understand, we grant that it's non-physical.
Okay.
We don't think it comes from any mind.
Okay.
God's mind or any other mind or your mind or my mind. We don't think they come from any mind.
So you don't believe
That's why we disagree at 7C.
Okay, then you don't believe that truth statements come from minds?
That's not what the logical absolutes are. They aren't the statement. That's like saying that the statement apple means that apple is conceptual.
No.
That's the logical fallacy
that's what
the previous
said.
Caller was
that,
pointing out.
I know. And that what he's confusing is the ontology with a description of that. And we're
yeah,
not
so basically
we're
not, what we're saying is, why do you think they come from any mind at all?
Well, hold on. I mean, before we get to that, do you think the truth statement A equals A has an ontological essence, has a nature to
it?
Do you?
Everything does.
Okay.
Yes.
So what is the nature what is the nature of A equals A?
Like, can we stick to the argument, though?
I am. I'm asking questions because this is part
no,
of the...
I'm asking about why you think...
We'll have to get to that. I'm asking you about this. I understand. I've argued this 1,000 times with atheists. I'm trying to, you know, find out where you are at. Because the issue...
I'm at 7C.
I understand.
7C. If you go to the website and go to 7C, that's where I'm at.
Andrew, hold on.
Yeah.
the statement, A equals A, the first law of logic, okay, the law of identity, all right, it represents something, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. What does it represent?
It represents a logical absolute.
It is a logical absolute. How can a logical absolute represent itself?
No, the statement refers to the logical absolute. Logical
no.
absolute is a label you put on the thing that the statement refers to.
What is
not
the thing?
On the statement itself.
What is the nature and essence of that thing?
Honestly, I don't even think of that question even. I just don't see. Basically, what we're saying. Look, I pointed
hold
out exactly
a sec.
What we're
hold
saying.
On.
We're,
hold on. Hold on. We're talking about essence and nature here, because you have to get to this level.
No, those words do not even appear in the premise that I'm discussing. I don't know where what I'm saying is, you say they're physical or conceptual. So since they're not physical, they must come from a mind.
Yeah.
And
true,
we're saying
true statements
that there's actually more options than just physical and conceptual.
What's the other one?
That's not a true
Give me another economy. One. Give me another one for more options.
Non-contingent. Non-contingent, not contingent on physical or not contingent on conceptual, neither,
so then,
non-contingent.
If they have non-contingency, you're saying that they have independent existence.
Yes.
Eternal, you have eternal, eternal non-contingent truths.
Basically what you're saying is, these things would be true if there were no minds. These things were
nope.
true before there were any
nope.
minds on
nope.
Earth, and they will be true long after there are
Andrew.
Any minds on Earth. A
no.
rock will still be a rock, and
Andrew.
It will
Andrew.
Be not a rock, right?
Andrew, man, hold on, man. I say no. Don't, why keep going if I say that's not correct? You build something on something that's not correct. If there are no minds, there are no truths.
Right, of course.
Because truth is a statement. What does a truth statement reflect but reality? Because if something is true, it reflects reality. Now, I got a book in my right hand. You can't see it, but I do, right here. Okay, it's the stupid book by Rob Bell, Love Wins. I just toss it down on the table, on the counter. Now, that it was true, then when I held that in my hand, it was true. I'm holding this in my hand. Because the truth comports with reality and with logic. Right?
Yeah, but the reality is independent of the truth. Like
yes.
If all the brains
Good.
On Earth disappeared,
Good.
There
Hold
would
on.
Still be there
Hold
would
on.
Still be eight planets in the solar system, but the number eight would not exist.
Okay,
you know?
Hold
that's
on.
A concept in our mind.
I understand that.
Right?
I understand that. The book would.
Then that's
if,
all we're saying.
I understand that, but you're not listening, and none of you atheists are listening when it comes to this level. None of you are
okay,
listening.
Well,
let me tell you what I'm trying to.
If we're not making progress, let me suggest.
Okay, let's try that. Look. Let's try it again. I'll go slowly, okay? Somebody wrote burn the book. We have a statement that reflects reality. The reason it is true is because it properly reflects reality. If A is true, what is it reflecting? It's reflecting reality. Now, if A equals A, now this, listen up, because I've trapped atheists with this before. Listen to this, because they'll say a rock is a rock. That's a physical thing. A physical thing, A equals A. Something is what it is and is not what it is not. They'll say, see, now listen to me, Andrew. Listen to me, atheists. I'm going to show you. This is what's going on. I agree. It correctly represents that reality. The statement, A equals A, correctly represents the reality that a rock is a rock. And that rock could be any object. An object is what it is. No problem. No problem. If that principle of the truth statement properly reflecting reality, and that the physical aspect of it is merely the condition of which the truth statement reflects, then here's the question. The fourth law of logic, the law of proper inference. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. How does the fourth law of logic, which is the law of proper inference, how do you observe that in reality? How do you find that principle in reality? How do you find the principle of proper inference in reality without... Now, okay, hold on. I know what they're doing. They're saying, oh, because you supply the principles of logic. It's called begging the question. You assume the thing to be true that you're trying to prove. Begging the question. Well, we know it's true because it's true. They don't realize that what they're doing is shooting themselves in the foot and committing a logical fallacy in order to maintain their position. If you can observe an object is what it is, that reflects A equals A, the first law of logic. But you can't, you cannot refer to the principle. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C, because that can be something that is reflective of conceptual entities. If A is a true statement that equals B, which is a true statement, then A equals C, because B equals C and all that, then A equals C is a true statement. You can't observe that in reality. There is no reference to it in reality. It's a different kind of a thing, and this is the point I'm trying to make with a lot of atheists. And they don't think at this level. It doesn't properly reflect reality because you don't see the phenomena of proper inference in reality. Where does that law of proper inference obtain its universal truth if it's not by observation of the universe? That's the issue. Do you get that, Andrew?
Yeah, I just have I have one question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Has any non-Christian logician ever confirmed that this is logically valid?
Has any I don't know all non-Christian philosophers, thinkers,
okay,
so I can't answer the question. I don't know.
If you can get one non-Christian logician to say that this is logically valid, I bet you can get a whole lot of money out of me, Matt Dillahunty, and a lot of atheists, because we think that this would not hold up in a logic journal anywhere.
Okay.
Because we see logical fallacies.
Okay.
So if you publish this in a logic journal, okay, peer-reviewed,
got a question for you.
We will buy you a steak dinner.
I got a question for you, Andrew.
A non-Christian logician will confirm it.
Andrew, how does the law of proper inference, how do you observe that, or how does it properly reflect reality? You know,
we'll buy you a steak dinner.
Okay, Andrew, I guess he's gone. So Andrew couldn't answer the question. Folks, this has really been an interesting show. I love this kind of stuff. I love this kind of banter, intellectual banter. Notice, when the tough questions get placed, they can't answer them. They cannot answer the very difficult questions. Now, I know that for a lot of people, this is way over your head. That's okay. But this is what the level we have to get to in apologetics is sometimes. It's not that difficult. I could explain it, sit down with people and explain how things work. But look, I'm going to go over this one last point one more time. What they're saying is that these laws of logic, these universal truth statements, reflect reality. You watch an object be what it is, and you can assign a value of truth to it. They say it reflects that reality. A equals A. That's what they're doing. But what about the universal law of logic called the law of excluded middle? Statements are either true or false. How do you observe that in nature? How do you observe a statement and the truth value of a statement in nature? How do you? Yet, it obtains by some means its universal truthness. How is that true? What are the necessary conditions for its universality? This is what we're asking. And the atheists, I don't know what happens. Maybe their tires blow out when they get to this point in the race. I don't know. But they don't get it. How does it reflect? How does truth statements, the law of excluded middle, statements either true or false, how does it comport with reality? How does the law of proper inference, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C, how do you observe that? And how does it obtain its universal nature and essence in a physical universe? See, this is the problem. They take the first law of logic, and this is what they always do. They go to the first law, A equals A, and then they tie it into simply observing a condition. How do you observe the condition of the law of proper inference? How do you observe the condition of truth statements being true or false? How do you observe the condition of them? They can't answer these questions, and their brains just, the timing belt starts spinning. They lose traction. And then they say, Matt doesn't get it. I'm going, I get what you're saying. I'm asking the next level question. And then they repeatedly just blow a gasket when it comes to this. So, been there, done that. I enjoy this stuff. Okay, you guys in the chat room, if you're listening, what do you think of all that? Is that good stuff? Hey, Brandon, what do you think? You like that? Did you like that, Brandon? You what? He's got a guy with me. He's out there in the control room. So I do get a little frustrated with the issue of the atheist doing this, but I'm going to be going with another argument, because I've done the tag argument for years, and I just don't think atheists do a good job with trying to refute it. But I got another one called the cosmological argument, and I'm hoping that an atheist calls up, and we could just have a nice conversation. I say, let me run this by you. I can field test it, which is what I do. Let's see. Sean says the atheist should put this show's podcast on MP3 players, listen to it over and over and over again. For what? I agree with you, Sean. They should. They should listen to it over and over again. Because at first they go, yeah, Matt doesn't know what he's doing. And after about the 10th listen, they might go, wait a minute, I think I understand what he's saying now. I'm hoping that kind of thing is what happens. Okay, folks, if anybody wants to call, 877-207-2276. Now, no one's calling. I think people are burned out. Maybe I killed their brain cells doing that. I don't know. What I could do, fill some time here. We need a hate mail. I don't know. I'm going to read the hate mail. We only got like 3 minutes, 2 minutes in the show. Okay. All right. That's too long. Let's see. How about... Okay. Here we go. This will be fun. I like hate mail. I got on your website and I cry in my hands when I read about your false doctrine. See, you are the ones in bondage, not me. I am free in Jesus Christ, who died for the world. Check your Bible, please. Freedom is when we really learn to know our loving Father's heart. Do yourself a favor and start praying nonstop that the Holy Spirit will show you in the Bible what the real gospel is all about. Paul preached a totally different gospel than the other four. So now this guy is saying, yeah, Paul, he a different gospel than what Jesus taught. And actually, he didn't. I've had that question asked me before. They taught the same thing. Anyway, reading the epistles of Paul on your knees with the Holy Spirit will reveal something totally different to you. It will? It will. Oh, I've done that many times like that. What it reveals to me is the same thing, how these scriptures are consistent with themselves, because it's the one Lord who did it all. It's because of control that this organ... We got 1 minute left. You want to just put the call through? You can push it through real fast. We got another caller coming in. We'll just see if we can shove a question and an answer in less than a minute. How about that? Okay, we'll try that. I like hate mail, though. Okay, go. Who is it?
Okay, my name is Elaine. Mm-hmm. I am a grandmother. Okay. I am curious how a grandmother deals with a child who says he's a Christian and takes medical marijuana.
If it's medical and it's necessary... and it would help for the purpose that is prescribed for legitimate means, I wouldn't have a problem with it, personally. If it's a legitimate thing, because I do know that in certain cancer treatments and certain things with glaucoma and some other stuff, that it can help, if that's what it is for and only for that.
Well, he's been doing this since he's been a teenager.
Ah. Then
and
he's just hooked on it.
He's now 42.
He's hooked on it.
Yes.
And he's just using that as an excuse.
Yes, and he's infecting grandchildren. Oh, and no. I find myself very angry to the point.
Well, can you call back tomorrow and let's talk about it, okay? Because we're out of time.
You would talk about it.
I would like to. Okay.
Thank you, Matt.
All right. Bye, okay. Elaine. Well, that's an interesting topic. We should talk about that. Hey, folks, I hope you enjoyed the show. I like it. I don't know if you guys did. It was great. It was fun for me. God bless everybody. We'll see you. Bye.
This has been Faith and Reason with Matt Slick. For more, go to carm.org. That's carm.org.